going on, everyone? Welcome to the Davidson Hang podcast, where I get to interview amazing people and help share their wisdom with the world. Let me know your takeaways and feel free to connect with the guests. I'm aiming to build a community around coaching, self-development, leadership, where people are not afraid to be their most authentic versions of themselves. You can find us on video by searching the Davidson Hang podcast on YouTube. Welcome and enjoy the ride.
What up, party people?
What up?
I'm excited to introduce to you one of my favorite human beings in the world, Ivana Pham. She is Vietnamese Viet Pride. Woo! And we used to work together at LinkedIn. LinkedIn has lost one of our best people, but she's in a much better, she has an amazing opportunity ahead of her. And I'm really excited for you and to share with the world your enthusiasm, your energy, and just like, yeah, like just positive vibes, like all around. I feel like people always get instantly energized when they're around you or when they speak with you.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. And I want to say the same thing back to you, because every time people speak to you, I feel like that's your superpower. They walk away with so much more energy. So thank you.
I was looking at your profile. You've had like a lot of accomplishments, like for someone who's like relatively young. Like, I feel like you're definitely, because it's interesting, because I feel like when you think of like super energetic, like relationship type people, you don't also associate them with like striving for excellence as much, right? Because I think there's like your analytical people who are much more like, all right, I want everything to be perfect. And then there's more your like bubbly people who like, you know, just like are people, right? But I feel like you have like the perfect balance of both, you know? Like, I feel like that's rare.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. And that's funny that you say that, because not to categorize myself, but yeah, I do lean more type A nowadays, in the sense that I am very organized. I mean, I do now work at Asana. We are like, that's the whole point of our platform, is to help people be more organized. So obviously it naturally spoke to me. But I mean, honestly, growing up, I was more type B, in the sense that I would run late to places. I would sometimes, you know, lose a lot of things and not, you know what was due when and things like that. So it's interesting seeing that growth within myself, that you can change and, you know, have more discipline and habits if that's an area you want to improve. So it is funny that you say that, because it's not something that was innate for me. It definitely was something that progressed.
That's fascinating. That's a really interesting topic, because I also feel like the same way. Like, I feel like I was always super type B, and that was like, dude, you're like the archetype of a type B person. I was like, crazy. But then like, I feel like every year I am trying to be a little bit more like buttoned up and all that. Like, you know, I'm still like myself, but when I have to be, like, I could be like much more polished, and, you know, so it's interesting to see that transition within both of us. I guess that's why we're like a lot of times on the same wavelength, because I feel like we have a lot of similarities and interests as well.
Definitely. Yeah. We're always on the same page.
So I'm curious, I would love to learn a little bit more about, like, so you were like one of the highest ranked debate people, right? Or speech people, right?
Yeah. In high school, I did thematic speech interpretation, and I got third in the nation and third in the state. And yeah, I qualified for a lot of like our state championships. So the numbers don't lie. I guess I was up there.
Yeah. How did that go about? Like, did you, even at a really young age, did you notice like a knack for it? Or was it like a combination of like preparation / you know, like passion / like you had good mentors? Like, how did that all happen?
Yeah, definitely. So that's funny that I feel like there's already a theme of like innate versus something that was you worked on and you grew upon. But with speech, I guess it really did come about from my bubbly personality. Like, when I was in the first grade, I remember they called me the chatterbox, because I was just talking to everyone. I was like running around the classroom, just super bubbly, super energetic, super chatty. And so I've always liked speaking. So I think my parents at a young age were like, let's just put her in a speech camp. So I don't know, you're not, or maybe you know this place in the Bay. Have you heard of Harker School?
I mean, I don't know, but it sounds fancy.
It actually was fancy. I didn't go there, but they enrolled in a summer camp for me at Harker, and they were like, just go for it. And yeah, I remember, I think it was the fourth grade. I won like the little mini tournament between the like fourth graders. And then I was doing a lot of speeches. So I guess with my speaking, it always has been slightly innate, but definitely, you know, along the lines of something you really flex and grow upon. I was very fortunate that my parents enrolled me in those summer camps, and that I always was drawn to those opportunities. Another kind of example from when I was younger was in my elementary school, there was a little like poem contest. And I remember I read my poem out loud. I was very like emotional and invested in it. And I believe I placed second place. So yeah, at a young age, I would say it was a little bit of both. Like there was maybe some innate talent or skill, if you will, there. But I do feel very fortunate that my parents were the ones that ultimately pushed me to pursue it further in like summer camps and whatnot. So that's why I did continue it on in middle school and high school. And that's probably what you're seeing on my LinkedIn.
I love how you saw the pattern yourself about, because I do think like a lot of people think things are hereditary or genetics. So I know you're also really passionate about life coaching topics. So it is, I feel like that is one of the most commonly asked things or things we think about, right? Like how much of us are just innately like, this is just, I was born with these like qualities and traits, and how much of it is like, well, no, I'm just going to like work really hard and then I can get to a place. But it sounds like you've discovered like a bit of a 50-50 balance with a lot of the things that you're good at.
Definitely. And I think it's one of those things too, where I remember growing up, I always thought, well, whatever I'm quote unquote bad at, I should probably work on that harder, right? And I think that's a lot of thought that people think about, like, oh, I should focus on my weaknesses. But as I'm getting older, I'm realizing just own your strengths, because, you know, that's what makes you you. And like you said, that's what makes you really unique. And so I think with speech, it's a little bit of luck that I was pushed in that direction. But I mean, as we're, you know, as I'm finding my career as well, that's why I'm so passionate about sales, is that is what I think, you know, is one of my strengths.
Yeah. But I mean, it seems like, were you always good at everything even at a young age? Like, I guess, what are some things were you not good at? Because it just seemed like, I mean, from if you're that good at from fourth grade, like, you know, because I do think like, it's interesting how some people, even at a young age, like they just had that knack for something, you know?
Yeah, I would say so. Things I was bad at, again, like it's all coming full circle. The things I'm bad at are probably like when I was younger, organization. I was a little chatterbox over here running around, but I could barely like sit down and color my thing or write out my little mini paper or whatever. So I wasn't really good with organization, you know, really just being disciplined and sitting down and executing on something. Huh. So I would say that's the skill that I was more not creative in an artistic sense, but creative like in a speech sense. Like I was interested in reading and poems and tapping into those things growing up. But I mean, as we know, in sales, you have to be organized too. So that's something I was intentionally working on as I've been developing.
That just reminded me of a quote by Jocko Willink. He always talks about discipline is freedom. So it's interesting, right? Because it's like with products like Asana, and like as you have more structure and help have a process and things, it actually gives you the freedom to be more creative, because then you don't have to worry as much. Like there's less mental energy trying to get shit right. And then just like, you know, so that's fascinating that. And then another topic that I really like that came to mind as we talked about this is a lot of the things that we perceived as us not being good at, like we always try to like course correct, and then sometimes we over course correct so much that that becomes actually like our strength now. So I feel like that's such a fascinating topic.
Yeah, I guess going off of those lines, if you've read Mark Manson, shout out to Mark Manson because I love him. In his book, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on it. In his second book, to The Subtle Art, he talks about how freedom is commitment, which I thought was really interesting. It's kind of the same as, you know, there's freedom and discipline. When you really invest in certain things and really commit to them, you actually become more free. Like people think that once you commit or only do one thing, you actually are, you know, you're boring, you're simple. But I found that once I really understood myself and my strengths and what I like to do and what I'm good at, and then focus on that, I've never felt a more flow and like felt more free, if you will. So that was also something that kind of came in my head when you were talking about that quote.
Yeah. Man, I feel like there's so many things, so many ways we can go here.
There's so many things we can do right now.
I mean, to touch upon, like, what is another thing that you weren't good at, but now you're really good at? Because I also see a lot of that same traits, like, in a lot of the stuff. Like, I was voted most reserved at one point in the yearbook, right? And clearly, I'm not reserved anymore, you know? Like, this. So there's a lot of things. And I know, even, like, talking to my executive coach, like, I'm like, he pointed out that I had a story about how I'm not organized. He's like, well, you hit 408% of your number. Like, I would say you're probably organized, you know? And I was like, oh, I guess that's an empowering thought that I still have that doesn't serve me, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's so interesting because, wow, we are similar because I've actually found myself also group settings, not necessarily being voted most reserved, but being like called out, oh, like you seem on the more quiet side. So I guess for any listeners to just see kind of the holistic picture of people, right? Like even though sometimes you're type A and bubbly, there's also times where you might find yourself in settings where you're the most quiet person. So I think that is really interesting that you called that out because I've also had a similar experience too recently, finding myself to be in a group of people. Like actually my persona was one of the most quiet people probably in the big group. But something else I probably wasn't good at or like a weakness per se would probably be, besides being not as organized and not as quick to execute, I would say probably being not as detail oriented. There's, I guess that goes along the same lines as being, you know, organized, but there's a lot of times where I had the mindset where I was like, just it's better done, you know, whatever, not perfect or whatever. It's just better to get it done. And I think at a young age, that's, you know, it's a fine mindset to have, but when you're building those foundations at a young age, it is really important to still, you know, build that foundation and look at the details. So that's something I'm really, you know, trying to do now. Whenever I'm learning a new skill or learning a new process at work, I really do try to get it right the first time, you know, and not just think, I just need to check it off the box, but really, really immerse yourself. And kind of what I was saying earlier, freedom is commitment. Like really investing yourself in that one activity will make you feel so much better afterwards.
That's so funny because when I picture you and just in our, and then like how we first met was like through the competition, right? Where, you know, which, you know, that's how we like really gotten to know each other. Like that's like the opposite of how I view you. But I guess to your point, so much that it's like that's why you have such a high standard of excellence, right? So I guess like, and maybe when you're like really young that was the case, but that's like definitely not the case now.
Yeah, and that's funny that you say that because I think something else I'm realizing too is I've always probably had a high standard of excellence, just the way I was executing it is much more polished now than when I was younger, which was let's just get to the finish line,
right?
On the surface a lot of people were like, wow, that turned out great, or wow, you're killing it. But still within myself, I knew I wasn't aligned because I didn't truly commit to it or stay as detail oriented as I like. So it's interesting that I faced a little imposter syndrome there growing up a little bit because the end result was still pretty good, but I didn't live in total alignment with what I, you know, see as a standard of excellence. So I think, yeah, another like learning lesson is that it really is, you know, you can have the end result, but are you in alignment with your values and what you believe in? So it's exciting to see that progress from, you know, one method to who I am today.
It's really deep. And I was laughing earlier and sorry that was, if that was distracting, but literally like my second biggest, my story that I tell myself is like, I lack attention to detail. Right. And I have so much evidence of that, right? When someone gives me like critiques me or whatever, I'm like, there you go again, you know? So I'm really hard on myself. So when you said that, I was like, oh my God, like we're twins.
We're twins. Just another. Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, I mean, we've talked about this before too. Like it's hard not to listen to someone's feedback and have that reinforce a story we've told ourselves or, you know, thought about before.
Yeah. And then I really liked your concept of like, it's interesting because like the end result, like you said, is like, it always looks good, right? Like you're winning competitions, you're crushing numbers, like quotas, like you get all these amazing job opportunities at like the world's best companies like Asana, LinkedIn, Facebook, etc. So it's just, it's funny because like from the outside, when we see you, it's like, oh yeah, she just wins shit. She just gets shit, you know, she just places third in the nation, like shit like that, right? But then it's funny how like our internal dialogue, and I think all of us, is like totally different, you know? And that's the common thing I've noticed amongst like all the even the best people that I've interviewed, like Mimi Pleben and like all these, all basically all the President's Club winners. Like every time I talk to them, like, you know, you get the sense that they're like, oh, that's funny. Cause on the outside, it's like, damn, you're a rock star. But then like when they share with me their inner dialogue, like during the podcast, I'm always like, wow. But then I don't know. I guess it's just interesting to see like how like we talk to ourselves and how others perceive us sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I'm trying to really be intentional about is how I talk to myself. And I would say my favorite question to ask myself these days to challenge my own thoughts is what else may be true? Mm-hmm. So that's just been really helping me recently is kind of just challenging my own thoughts and just understanding that thoughts are like a rough draft. They're not objective facts. It's like if you were writing an essay, you wouldn't submit the first draft. You need to revise it. You need to edit it. You would get like feedback. And so I think that has been one of the most life-changing realizations is understanding your thoughts are like the rough draft of an essay. Your thoughts are not fact, and challenging them is one of the most powerful things you can do. My life coach, shout out to Pia. One of the things she really tries to embody is being like unfuckwithable, where she's like, I'm not going to let these thoughts win. I'm not going to let this bad shit win. I'm just like unfuckwithable in that sense. And I think that was so cool hearing her like tell me about how she's gone on that path and, you know, really made sure her thoughts just don't control her.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me. That's another like interesting, like, why do you think you're so compelled to like self-development? Because I do think there's people who are like, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll do this once in a while, right? But you're almost like addicted to that, like, right? I guess, why do you think, where does that come from?
Yeah, that is such a great question. Thanks for asking, Davidson. I would say where it came from was that, oh my gosh, this is probably why I'm so in alignment with Asana, because this is like one of their terms is like bringing chaos to clarity. I think, you know, I used to have a lot of chaos. Like I said, growing up, I wasn't organized. I wasn't great with execution. I wasn't detail oriented. At times I was all over the place, like the chatterbox running around the classroom. So I had a lot of chaos in my mind and externally in that sense when I was being like a flurry. And so I really just wanted to have clarity. And so that's what kind of compelled me to be, okay, how can I just better myself? I mean, if other people can do it, why can't I just get a little better at executing this or being organized at this? And after I really, really believed that everyone has the ability to get 1% better every day, I think that's, to your point, where I got addicted to it. I think that's the first step. I think you have to truly, truly buy into the fact that you can change. Because I think for some people, like you said, they get stuck in their story and they don't want to change. It's almost like an emotional addiction to, you know, like say misery loves company, like sometimes, you know, getting into those low points, it's almost addicting to not. But I switched that addiction, if you will. And I was like, no, I truly believe that I can get 1% better every day. And that's why I've read so many, you know, development books. I've hired a ton of coaches, counselors, et cetera, and surround myself with people like you that also like it, because it is so addicting to understand that like, you have the choice in this world to choose what you want to, you know, how you show up, what you want to do, how you spend your time. So I can go on about that topic, but yeah, I got addicted after I really internalized that I have choice and I choose to be the best version of myself.
Yeah. You're pretty wise for someone who kind of just graduated from college, like not even that long ago, you know, like that's pretty cool. Right.
Thank you.
I'm also curious, like, and this might be a weird question for you to answer, but like, I feel like not that many people, like everything you post gets like thousands of likes. And I guess like, I'm curious, like, why do you think it resonates so much compared to like, I mean, I guess like anyone else I know, like, you know, like it just seems like, I don't know, maybe you're touching upon like the human condition or something like, or maybe there's just vulnerability in all of your shares, right? I don't know. There's gotta be something that, I don't know if you cracked the code, but like, it seems like everything you, it's just fire. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm going to get like at least 500 comments on this. Like, I don't know. I just haven't seen anything like that before.
Thank you. That means so much to me. And I guess I hadn't really thought of my post like that because I don't post that much. So thank you for saying that. I would say, I mean, it depends if I really want to like analyze it. I guess it really depends on the medium. Like obviously Instagram, you know, if you do like a thought provoking, there's different routes. I try to keep it like the short and simple route with my captions and usually do it like a question or a joke, because with my audience, if you will, or my friend group or my network, like that really resonates. It's like the super short, like for example, one of my captions was like, kombucha enthusiasts, like super short, super simple, but obviously everyone's like, I love kombucha too. So it's like, I think on Instagram, maybe that, but with LinkedIn, I would say, yeah, I don't really post that much, but I do try to, like you said, have a touch of vulnerability, because I think that that's really important to normalize, especially as we're all navigating this crazy time in our lives. So yeah, I don't know if I've cracked the code, but hopefully that was like, if anyone wants an actionable takeaway, hopefully those were a couple.
I guess, so you touched upon vulnerability. It does seem like that is something that you've noticed that will definitely resonate with anyone, right? So at least you've figured like that part of the equation, right? It's like, well, if I'm just going to share myself authentically and show like a little bit of myself, that I know at least like people will respect me, or like it's maybe that's not even your intention, maybe it's like unintentional, but it does seem like you touch a nerve like with a lot of the stuff that you say.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, it's like how I try to live life too. Just keep it pretty simple, keep it pretty clear. Like I said, like from chaos to clarity, like just keep it really clear, simple. And then yeah, when posting, have that touch of human element to show like I'm human just like everyone else. So I guess that resonates with people.
Yeah. And I really like what you said about from chaos to clarity too. Cause I do think that's like something that I mean, especially now, right? Because there's so many things going on now and like the world's like, so I think anytime like you're able to like simplify things and you're able to take like a potentially like really hard concept and be able to like distill it into its essence, like I think that's such a valuable skill.
Definitely.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, I feel like you're also like really good at like going out of your way to like make mentors, and I feel like finding good mentors is like probably the most valuable, one of the most valuable skills that you can have. Like, were you always good at doing that? Like, I guess what advice would you give to people who are like afraid of reaching out for mentors or to mentors? Maybe they think like, oh, this person doesn't have time for me, or like, oh, like they probably have so many other people reaching out to them. Cause that's probably the number one question that I get.
Definitely. I think it kind of goes back to some of the themes we've been talking about today, which was just, you know, choosing choice and choosing to see mentorship as a really integral part of your growth. So once I saw like, I need a mentor, and then the why behind it, like I really, really see it as important, I was very, very persistent and committed to finding a couple that really, you know, resonated with me. So I think that's the first step, is that, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be fear with anything in life, but you have to, you know, almost look past that fear and choose, instead of fear, let go of fear and choose that commitment of seeing that, okay, a mentor will truly help me. That was the first step for me. I was really staying committed to that thought. And then from there, not to say that it, you know, fell naturally, but I did a little bit, for me personally, it was a little bit of organic mentorship. Like obviously I found you, and that was really organic in the sense that we were randomly partnered up together during a challenge, and that relationship just grew organically. So there's some people in my life like you. And then there was some I was very intentional about, you know, they went to my college, they are, you know, two steps ahead of me in their career, and like, that's the role I want to be in. And they posted this and that resonated with me. So there was some that were definitely more intentional. And for those intentional ones, I would say, again, just choosing choice, like choosing commitment over and over again, over that fear, and to build that confidence in yourself to reach out. And once you reach out, I've read multiple articles on mentorship, and they say, you know, it has to be a reciprocal relationship. So read the room a little bit, like don't go in for the ask too soon if you don't sense that there would be an equal partnership here, in a sense. Like, yeah, if someone's already disrespecting your time, they're already like showing up super late, or they're like, can we cut this short? Like, you know, giving you some signals that they're not really fully there. Then yeah, I mean, read the room, you know, just have the awareness to say, maybe this isn't the right mentor for me. But if it does seem like there's the possibility, I always go in for a soft ask first. I usually say, would you be open to, you know, staying in the loop with my journey? Or would you be open if I reached out to you again in a month or so? Something reasonable. I mean, everyone's working, everyone's lives are crazy. So I don't say like, can I talk to you tomorrow? I just go for like a little soft ask first. And then from there, see if the relationship kind of grows. again, with having that awareness, like, do they seem like they're open to it too? And then there's some where I really just vibe right away. And I just went in for the request, the close. And I said, hey, I'm really loving your energy. Would you be open to being my mentor and potentially meeting, you know, once a quarter or something? So being very specific. But I think, you know, it's something that is hard. It's vulnerable to ask someone, especially a stranger that you like found on LinkedIn or something. It is vulnerable and it can feel hard. But I would say the best, you know, my best takeaways are, one, just stay committed to it. Understand why you're doing it, because it will truly help with you, your growth. And then two, just read the room. You know, if someone's already blowing you off or not seeming that interested, you can be open and say, hey, would you like to continue this? Or ask them how they're feeling about it. Or two, go in for a soft close. Gosh, such a sales term, soft request, and see if it'll grow from there. Or three, if you really feel like you found your, you know, someone that you would love to continue the conversation with, just directly ask.
Yeah, that's good. That's good actionable items. Yeah. You're definitely super wise. Like, I feel like you're, it might be the heritage from all those like Vietnamese Buddhist monks, like that. Maybe you were reincarnated like from, you know, a previous Dalai Lama or something like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I must say meditation does do wonders. At first I was like, ugh, all these articles and findings on it. But man, I have to say that if that, there's one thing from today I want to plug is that meditation works, people.
Yeah, it really does. Today we were lucky. Scott had a half day meditation retreat today. So we did 3 hours of meditation today. It was beautiful.
That is incredible. That, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. One thing I want to edit though about my comment is that I think the reason why I tried to meditate before, I tried to be like, my life is, again, chaos, right? There's so much going on. The science says meditation works. I'm just going to do it. I kind of treated meditation as a means to an end. I was saying, I just want to meditate to turn this chaos into clarity and to feel more, I want to feel better about myself. So that's why I'm going to meditate. Is it a quick fix? I don't know. Let me just do it. But when I got out of that mindset and, you know, revisited my meditation journey, and I said, actually, I really truly just want to get more in touch with my mindfulness and my awareness. And I want to just sit in silence and peace. That's when it started, quote unquote, working. So I think that's one edit I want to say to my comment. It's not a quick fix. The intention has to be correct. It's not a means to an end, but truly like a journey that you want to pursue. That. So that's what I want to say in case anyone was curious.
And then again, the theme of bringing clarity or from chaos to clarity, right? So it's funny how we keep seeing the same theme in so many areas of your life. So that is pretty cool. That, like, you know, that's how you know it's such a good transition, because if you know you're truly stepping into your purpose and you're, you know, it's like clearly like these are a lot of areas that you've struggled with in the past and now, you know, you've gotten better. So it's cool when you're like the living embodiment of whatever company you know, whatever company. So if Asana was like a person, it'd be like a yogi, right? It'd be someone who's like, by just the sheer presence, makes people feel calm, at peace, like tranquility, things like this, right? So if you are the living embodiment of whatever that is, like, you would just be successful just because it's a natural, it's authentic, right? It's relatable, it's real. It's not like you're trying to be something you're not. So that's,
yeah, exactly. That's why I think I just am already so, even though I'm new, so passionate about the company, but excuse me, because I'm already seeing like my own personal values bleed into literally their values and things that they say about themselves. So that's been interesting to see.
That's awesome. I'm also curious about, like, I feel like you, like, how does one manage their energy levels, right? Because I do think, oh, actually, this is something that when you mentioned earlier, I was like, oh my God, this is gold for people. So two things. So it's interesting because the people that are often the most extroverted, right? I would say like both of us are like pretty extroverted, right? Like we put ourselves out there to get to know people and stuff like that. But then sometimes we're also the people like that because we're expending so much energy to like make people feel included and all this. We're adding so much. Like also like when you don't take care of your energy, that's also when you struggle, right? Like you go through like dips of, you know, so I feel like that's really interesting. So, I mean, other than meditation, what are some other practices that you do to manage your energy? Because you're always like putting yourself out there. You're doing like panel events for your alma mater. Like, you know, like you're doing a lot, right? Like in terms of your career and for others.
Definitely. I think that's such a great question and something that, especially for folks in sales, like should definitely reflect on what works for them. But, you know, what personally works for me, you called it out, right? Meditation has been a great practice for me to adopt to, you know, have complete pause and stillness in my day and to really just, you know, be with myself. I would say I'm really, really into my night routine. I wouldn't even call it routine. I would call it like a ritual, honestly. And I think for managing your energy, I think having rituals or, you know, I don't even see them as routines anymore because that sounds so much like work. Like I really need a ritual. Like it's like a sacred experience for me. And so I think having rituals in your day or night really helps you recharge. So for me, my night routine is the same every night. By, I would say 9 or 9:30, I light 3 candles and I turn off all my lights except for 1 mini lamp. I play this like really soft music and sometimes, yes, I'll cheat. I'll watch like Netflix in bed and stuff. Like, I'm like, I know it's supposed to be my like calm down time, but yeah, during that time, I'm not really talking to anyone on the phone. I'm not catching up with anyone. I'm literally mute. Like I'm not talking and I'm just in bed, just complete relaxation. And then from there, I'll keep all the lights and the candles on and I'll get ready for bed. And then, yeah, just obviously blow the candles out. And every night, I'll kind of just do a, you know, closing thought with myself, kind of take a couple deep breaths and then, yeah, blow out the candles, head to bed. And I would say that entire practice can last up to like an hour almost, that ritual. Again, sometimes I cheat and I'm watching Netflix in bed while I'm just like there. So it takes like an hour and a half. But in that time, I'm not talking to anyone. And so whatever works for different people, but I think, you know, especially in COVID, it's an interesting thing I bring up because I've heard a lot from my peers like, oh, you know, this day was kind of like boring or this thing is blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, my rituals never feel boring. Like they just feel so, they bring me so much joy. So I would challenge anyone that's listening to recharge their energy. Think about what rituals might work for you. Maybe it's a morning routine. Maybe it's not a night routine. Maybe it's during lunch. You like play your favorite music and or like go to a room and be by yourself. Like it really looks different for everyone. But I don't think like, in a weird way, it's a double whammy because one, you're recharging energy, but two, it's fun. Like you like it, you chose to do it. And so that's my best advice for people trying to do that.
Yeah, that's good advice. I definitely think now that you're saying that, I know like my ritual is definitely like at night, always need like usually like an hour to myself to just read a book and just kind of lay in bed or just, you know, like there's certain things where I'm like, oh yeah, I do feel much better like when I do it. But sometimes we don't really think about it, right? But you're intentionally like setting aside like this sacred time for just for you, right? Especially if you're a giver, which like you are, you know, you're always like giving back to society and things and your friends and your community. I feel like that's when you need to take care of yourself more, right? Because if you're always giving and then, you know, you're going to be exhausted by the end of the week. So you have every day you have that to reset, you'll be able to be much more likely to be at 100% the next day.
Totally agreed. And I think when you think of the word ritual, I think why I almost even intentionally use that word is because for me, routine sounds almost like so robotic, like something I have to do to be my best self at work or whatever. But with ritual, it's like, it's something you chose. You have to honor it because it's a commitment to yourself and it should be fun, right? Because you're the one choosing it. So yeah, I think like, yeah, like I do think it's a great way to recharge.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all of your advice. I feel like the time went by so quickly. We'll definitely have to have you back for part two, you know, prior to you becoming like a CRO, like a VP of sales or anything like that. Like we definitely need to have you back on the podcast.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm a big fan of the podcast. So it's an absolute honor that I'm episode 85 here on the DHang podcast. But thank you so much to the wonderful host. And I had so much fun.
Thank you, Ivana. Best of luck. And yeah, I'm sure we'll stay in touch.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, that's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe and let me know what your thoughts are. If there were any takeaways, I welcome all positive and constructive feedback and hope you enjoy.
stay tuned for more interesting stories and guests. Take care.